America, the 2020s, a time of unrest and mistrust, a time of fear and violence. Podcasters document the chaos, broadcasting the horrors into our phones, but it also offers comfort. October 21st, 2015, the first episode of Experience Grind Podcast hits RSS feeds, the world's hope for a podcast with two middle-aged white men with anything new or even remotely interesting to say is quickly dashed within mere episodes. Years into it, the ratings drop lower and lower. Listeners stagnate. The only hope these desperate hosts have in hopes of turning their fortunes around? Adding two more white men. What you are about to hear is the recently discovered audio files of what went to air that night, as well as the unreleased behind-the-scenes material for Patreon members. Yes, money please. It is the podcast episode that whelmed the nation. Experience Grind Podcast.
Question. When you broadcast the horrors into my phone, is it in incognito mode or are they just popping up tits out?
I want to say tits out only because of tits out.
Oh, horrors. Horrors. Okay. Cool.
I see. Yeah, okay. I see.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom's just popping up on people's phones. It's like, what? Sean's mom. What a whore. Horror. She's scary. My bad. A lot to unpack here.
Well, my name is Ryan, and thank you for joining us once again on the Experience Grind Podcast. Tonight, we have another entry for Found Footage February, 2023's indie horror flick, Late Night with the Devil. But before we jump into this movie, I need to introduce my panel of primetime provocateurs. First up, a man I know would undoubtedly make a deal with the devil. It's Kyle.
Yeah, this introduction is brought to you by Future Pictures in association with Spooky Pictures, with partnerships from Image Nation Abu Dhabi, and partnered with IFC Films, with distribution by Shudder, partnered with Vix Green, with AGC International, and assistance from Good Fiend Films.
I love Good Fiend Films.
Damn, that's a lot of production logos.
Was that it?
Hi,
was
buddy.
Was that all of them? Hi, buddy.
There's one missing, actually. I think there's nine. That was only eight.
Okay. It is a lot. I think I went back and counted after you guys brought it up. A minute and 40 seconds. It's yeah. It's beefy. It's pretty beefy. Okay. Let's see. Next up. Oh, I already lost my place. This is fantastic.
Let's go.
This next host will make your heads literally spin. It's Brian.
Yeah, I have a special talent for getting your head all topsy-turvy.
He's in mine all the time.
Making it face the opposite direction it's supposed to, which is not great for your health.
No, not at all. I imagine you need to go to the chiropractor quite frequently.
Yeah, after some light necromancy.
Neck romancy.
Sounds kinky.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That's what a vampire does.
It was you who said it.
Yeah, but it was you that realized it was a pun. I didn't.
And last but not least, a host you've heard already, who's on the record. His favorite board game, named as Ouija Board. Is that right? It's Sean.
Now that I think about it, is necromancy just another term for deep throat?
Necromancy?
It's neck romancy. Yeah, you're just romancing that throat, you know what I mean? Anyways, okay. My name's Sean, and I'm brought to you by KY Jelly. Back to you, folks.
Sean, only Ouija is his favorite game because it also has that fucked up U in there for no reason.
Oh, what?
Well done. It took me a second.
I don't.
Because of the U in your name.
Yeah.
It's fucked like up the U that's U in your Ouija name for no reason.
That doesn't belong in Ouija.
Oh, in the name? Yeah, but yeah. Isn't it Ouija?
Ouija. Whatever. None of those letters make sense. None of them. Yeah. None of them do what they're the supposed ghost. To do.
It's like Worcester, Mass.
Yeah, don't. Honestly, don't put that in front of anybody. It used to be funny, and now it's just like, are you stupid? You're stupid, right?
Are you having a stroke?
All right. Well, yeah. Speaking of strokes, I guess I'm going to have one if we don't get a roll on. I don't know. I tried to segue so hard there and it did not work.
Is the tornado going to just take a piss stop at your house and give you a good old stroke ski or what? Like,
it might.
Should we honestly just vamp for a while and see what happens?
That's more of a suck ski, I think.
Oh, let's go.
So far, so good. Well,
Ryan's going to get necromancy.
I'm keeping an eye on it, but I do have absolutely a live weather thing going at all times over here. Just keeping an eye on it, which is definitely not distracting at all. But no. Let's get back to it. We are talking about Late Night with the Devil. It is a horror movie, as I said, from 2023, a very low budget, which is why you have all those production companies. And I think it was mainly produced by Shudder. So now they had the streaming rights for a long time, and I guess that's done shifted and they made money elsewhere. But I think Sean has already seen this one.
I have. One of the few movies that I can have in my pocket that I've seen before other people. Let's go.
Nice. I'm curious. I don't know about Brian or Kyle. Have you, one, seen it? Have you even heard of this movie?
No, I haven't even heard of this one.
Okay.
Have not seen it, have heard of it, mostly because of the AI controversy surrounding it.
So stupid.
This is, I mean, fuck it, like, address the elephant in the room. Where are your thoughts on this? The AI apparently was in a few interstitial, scenes real quick in, like, montages in the very beginning of the film. Is this something to be upset about?
I mean, my thought is, why not, like, just hire somebody to make three quick fucking pinups of a 70s-style technical difficulties board? Like,
right.
It's weird. Like, I don't know. If you hadn't told me they were AI, I don't know if I would have pegged it.
No. Same.
But,
oh, I
still
instantly clocked it.
Like, the pumpkins definitely look weird. Like, I don't know if I would have pegged it. I might have felt like something was weird, but they're also there for so little time. Mm-hmm. But at the same, it's like, what are we doing? Like, somebody could have fucking knocked that up real quick. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, it was 2023, so that was probably made with like 2021 or 2022 AI, which wasn't even good. So,
well, what I read was that the AI bits weren't in it when it aired at South by Southwest, so it must have been a late edition.
Interesting. I'm curious. You said you noticed it. What was the AI that you noticed?
The one that made me cognizant that it was happening was there was a screen, like a We'll Be Back screen, with a TV with an owl sitting on top of it. And I noticed the knobs on the TV. I was like, something's funny here. This looks like AI. And then I was paying attention to all those screens when they came up. And like the skeleton comes up and there's a bunch of weird pumpkins on the ground that don't look like
the pumpkins.
And he's got like three fingers on one hand. It's just, it's very noticeable once you realize what it
is. Tuned into it. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's one that I remembered the AI controversy when it came out and then completely forgot about it on this rewatch until after I had already rewatched it. So it's again went under my radar and I did not notice it. But again, I wasn't looking for it. Yes, sir.
Also, putting on my Chang in Spanish class from Community, tipping his hat, saying, I'll allow it. It's very liberal definition of a found footage film. I just want to kind of throw that out there.
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
You want to, Sean, please argue it.
Yeah. I mean, this is quite literally like it is the master tape of the show that like, I don't know it aired, I'm assuming, but there's a lot of things that weren't seen and it's the full telling of something with behind the scenes shots that are never seen before and the full showing of what happened. And this is also in the 70s. So finding something like that, even 15 years later, is something that like, who is taping that? who is taping this show that's declining in ratings to begin with and barely, you know, is trying to catch up. I think this is about as found footage from the 70s as you could be as Cloverfield with a with an SD card that got hit by a nuke.
Sure. My only, there's a lot of camera angles that don't seem to be part of the found footage.
This is
it's
true.
Just, there, that's all I'm saying. Like,
the black like and a, white is explained very, very poorly, but it is explained yes. because there are a documentarians mm-hmm. there with like the old things, but there is the cinematic scope that they cut out uh-huh. to at a certain point that is 100% yes. something you would never see. That is right. absolutely not found footage. It is a subjective character thing that does break it. So you're right.
I can say, but, I'm just being a bit of a shit about it.
But if 90% of it is found footage, is that not enough? Is that not enough?
I would, no, and again, yeah, I'm just being
I would actually argue that this has a higher percentage of something that appears to be found footage than Cloverfield did, since it has that weird adjustment in the shooting style about 20 minutes in. But also, you that's did, just me being a twat.
You did notice that. Yeah, being the Cloverfield. Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. I guess here's the thing. Found footage February came together very quickly, very haphazardly. Yeah, of course. So some of the choices are going to be haphazard, dog.
Well, and I like it because I haven't seen this movie, so I appreciate it. Again, I don't think...
Mostly like talking to the listeners. I understand you guys. Frames. We're on the same page. But these
then I'm back on. Fuck the listeners.
They need to know. They need to know.
The movie even like bookends and frames it with like the whole, you know, producers and written by and whatever at the beginning and like the boop. So like the beginning and the end, like where a recording would start and end. It even bookends it with that. That really gives it a you just watched a complete thing that was just stumbled upon or mm-hmm. was in some, like. Who fucking saved this? Somebody came in and was like, yoink, I'm taking this.
It was the guy in the leather jacket that was smoking cigarettes backstage.
Probably.
Like, yep.
Leo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Love Leo. All right. Yeah. Well, we're kind of getting into the movie, so we're just going to jump into it. We're going to start off with our patented rating scale, which if you don't know by now, we're going to start off with story, then go into characters, style, entertainment value, and direction. Give each of them a rating out of 5 and then tally them up at the end. Kyle.
I thought we had been switching director and ending with entertainment value.
I was the only one to do that.
Yeah, I thought that was the new way we were going to go. I liked it. I'm just bringing that up. I thought that was discussed. That might have been me in a haze of milk and...
We did that, cereal. And then it switched back last week to normal.
Okay.
But I
okay.
am...
I'm not... This is a real behind-the-scenes episode of Experience Grind Podcast. We're
in black and white right now. Sausage is made.
Yeah, we're in black and white right now. Wait until we get back to color. Okay.
It is 100% turning into Late Night with the Devil. All right.
I fucking love it.
Well, we're going to surprise. It doesn't matter what's at the end, because I honestly don't care. We're going to start with story, and this is the summary. Late Night with the Devil is a found footage horror movie centered around Jack Delroy, an also-ran late night talk show host who has struggled to step out of Johnny Carson's shadow in the ratings for several seasons now. He hopes to accomplish this with an unforgettable Halloween special broadcast on Halloween night in 1977 during Sweeps Week, including a psychic, a theatrical skeptic, and a parapsychologist and her adopted daughter, a demonically possessed little girl named Lily. As it often goes in horror, things escalate as the late night gimmicky veneer starts to peel away, revealing something genuinely sinister at play. Abraxas. The line between performance and reality shifts and blurs as we learn about Jack's past and ambitions before it all crescendos into chaos in an explosive finale. That is Late Night with the Devil. Y'all, I want to hear what you thought about the story, the narrative, the dialogue, and the writing. I would love for Brian to start off.
Me?
Yeah.
Me? I've been the least vocal about this movie so far, so why not?
I know. I'm curious.
We've discussed a few times that horror, not my genre. I think I'm slowly learning. I don't like slashers. The rest of horror is very much on the table, it seems.
Hell yeah.
Because I had a ball with this movie. I'm not going to hide that. I enjoyed this. The story, I think, is probably the strongest part of it, in fact. I think we have a really interesting thing here where, especially with the screenplay, where you are watching this night unfold, and it starts off slow, and it gains the tension as it goes, and things go awry, and it gets more and more off the rails, and it really earns its ending. I was very impressed, and I really enjoyed the story itself, and finding out all the shenanigans that Jack did back at the Grove, and you know, his dead wife Minnie, and all that fun stuff. So, that is. I'm gonna go with a 4. I don't know what it would take to get me to a 5, but it's a 4 for me. And I would like to hear from Kyle.
Abraxas, the cleaning powder. So it is done. I'm with Brian on this. Really fun little flick, man. I really enjoyed the Shyamalan twist that homeboy had done it to his wife. I also like the double twist that, like, he got the fame he wanted and that he made the deal for. It just didn't come till the very last day of that deal, which was also just a perfect little icing touch. Great little touches there. I also think, I don't know. I feel very generous on this. I really, really, really did like a lot about this movie. I don't know. I think a 4 feels fantastic, though. So I think I'm gonna stick with the 4 with Brian. What was I had one thing I did want to mention. I get rich people being weird too. Yeah, fucking love that, being creepos. All of it pretty great. All the setup. I think it's like 7 years. That's like alluded to a lot. Homegirl also Fight Clubs a lot in the movie. She shows up a lot throughout. Oh, yeah. Did you know that? For like one frame.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice.
By homegirl, you mean his wife, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Okay. We all know the colloquial homegirl.
Yeah.
Could have been the Paris Apollo, I don't know.
Really nice touches though. All the way, yeah, 4. I'm waxing poetic for no longer reason. I don't know why I'm vamping. Ryan, please, as your selection, I don't want you to take it home. I want Sean to take it out.
Okay. I will probably not say too much then, because I'll let Sean speak and carry us off, but I'm right there with you. With both of you. I think this is a solid 4 for me. I think the story is really strong. I like Brian said, I don't know how it becomes a 5, because what it does is really solid. It's just maybe all expected at this point. It's kind of like one of those endings that's like so perfect that it's anticipated, possibly. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, and this is because I've seen it now multiple times, but there is something that holds me back from a 5. That said, I love they did with what they have. The story is absolutely there. I love the opening intro. I think that's one of the neatest ways to bring a character up to speed. A lot of movies do this. I think this one did it really well, and I could have watched a whole hour of that documentary. But that's all I'll say about that. I'm a solid 4, and then I'll throw it off to Sean.
Oh man, boys, this is like a Calypso's wish from Twisted Metal. I loved everything about this movie. Whatever, I'll get there. But it's so satisfying when, like, I've seen something and I've wanted to bring it up before, but I'm like, I don't know if other people like this. Like, I saw this shit in theaters, and I actually liked it more this time watching it than I did seeing it in theaters. And I don't know exactly what it was, but by the end of it, it was so satisfying. I love all of the writing in this movie. I love all of the different ways that it tells the story, whether it be the documentary at the beginning, whether it be the tape that's being played of June and Lily's, you know, first little interaction, the film that they show of Xandor or whatever, and the house burning down, to another little part, and I put this in dialogue too, because dialogue and story, like Carmichael's point at the end where he's hypnotizing everybody, and it's also done in a way that's presented like it's hypnotizing you, and this is the reason why you're able to see this, is just a fucking brilliant, brilliant way of doing it. Oh my God. And I think that's a big thing that I really appreciated more on the second viewing, is just kind of realizing exactly that's what was happening. I was like, this is fucking peaches. The ending, it's fucking perfect. Insane, perfect. The fact that the head splitting open was practical is insane. Five. This is a five for me. I don't know how I could go any lower than I fucking loved the story and the writing in this movie.
I'm really
glad. One of the things about the story that I absolutely adore is that they mention in that opening montage, in that introduction, that you fall under the spell of Abraxas when you witness a blood sacrifice, which means by watching this movie, we have all now become under Abraxas' control. It's just so good. Such a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hail Abraxas.
Oh, man.
Hail Abraxas.
Dude, even like listening to you guys' points and thinking back, like I love these little tidbits in there. Because Brian, the point that you're referring to is in a scene where like they say that and then immediately you just watch them cutting their palms. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? How are you going to say that and then show me that?
And then show me that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Luckily, that wasn't a full blood sacrifice. So they had to actually kill them on film for it to actually. But then, you know, throughout the course of the movie, we eventually get there.
Yeah. Yep.
We do. We get there. We do. All right. That's awesome. Sounds like we're off to a good start. Let's see if the energy can continue on in characters. This is going to cover antagonist, protagonist, supporting characters, and the casting in general. This will be an interesting one. Sean, would you like to start?
Sure. I'm very mixed on this. I'm very mixed. I feel like some of the delivery is not the greatest. Some of it does feel a little wooden. I think Carmichael is a very strong, very dislikable, like, man, I just wanted to choke that dude. I wanted to choke that motherfucker out. Christu, I feel like, is a little hit or miss. Ingrid Torelli as Lily / Dr. Wriggles is so unnerving, and her constant eye contact with whatever camera is going on. And like when he's going to cut to commercial and it starts fading away, she just goes, looks over her shoulder, and like, I'm like, you're making me wriggle. There's a lot of spots that really shine with a lot of these characters, but I feel like there's just a little something, there's something in performances that doesn't quite reach the thing. But overall, I think the characters are pretty good. They're pretty extreme characters. And what they stand for, they're very extreme in those things. And with that, I'm going to go with three. And I want to hear from Kyle.
Well, I got to say, I cannot disagree with you more, my friend. I kind of love
everything. Well, fuck, bump me up to a five, boys. Or a one, depending on where he goes.
Really, my one complaint, and I literally laughed out loud when they said this, is they expect me to believe that Ingrid Torelli is a 13-year-old girl. Oh, the fuck on. Kago, she's 13. I went, ha! Fucking laughed so hard. But that aside, I believe David Dasmalchali, whatever the fuck.
Dalmatian.
Dasmalchian. Damascus sword. David Dalmatian fucking carries this movie on his shoulders and does a fantastic job. And I think I was he either like fought hard for this or like they fought hard for him somewhat. Like he was very like kind of involved, I think. Which is great. The one thing that surprised me, number one, Christu was my favorite character until I got a little more involved with Gus. Gus is fantastic. What is crazy is apparently this is this guy's second fucking role ever. Where the fuck has this guy been? And I also feel like I've seen him in like so many things. I was like, oh, this is that guy. But he just has that face, I guess. But all that said, honestly, this is getting a 5 from me. I really did enjoy it outside of small homegirl being 13. I really did enjoy her performance a lot. She really brought an unnerving aspect to it. And I really loved Christelle. So, yeah, great. 5. Bry guy.
I am probably going to fall somewhere in between you two. I think that the chemistry we have here between these characters is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Because we have this setup of Jack Delroy bringing in these people to kind of cause tension so he can garner some viewership. So he's intentionally bringing in, you know, this hack, Christu, who does his fake psychic performance. But he also brings in Carmichael Haig, who is a renowned hypnotist, but also a truth seeker in the paranormal. And he knows these two are going to butt heads. It's the whole reason he has them on the show. But what he doesn't account for is Christu getting an actual psychic vision. And that is just, and the way he reacts and drops his accent, and like, it's so good. It's so good. And Carmichael is the perfect asshole for the whole movie until the very last moment when he's like, okay, never mind, I believe. Do you want the money? And then obviously the things that happened to him happened to him. I think Jack Delroy is such a complex character, and I love that we get to see different sides of him based on when you have the behind the scenes footage, the black and white. He acts very differently than he does on the air, as you would expect. And then it goes even deeper when we actually, you know, dive into his psyche and see this man is an egomaniac of sorts and has literally made a deal with the devil to become famous. And yeah, like Kyle said, Ingrid Torelli absolutely crushes it, and it's so unnerving. I think, damn it, I think I might have just talked myself into a 5. I was feeling a 4, but I really like these characters so much. Right. I'm going 5.
Bring me to a 4.
And I'm going to bump Ryan up, I'm sorry, bump Sean up to a 4, and then let's hear what Ryan has to say.
No, you bumped me up to a 4. I'm like you, I'm going to start off with the intention that this is a 4. We'll see if I talk myself up as well. I love, 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 love David Dasmalchian. I think he is so much fun as a character actor, and being given like the stage to make his own character, I think he fucking kills it. I think, honestly, this is a great showcase. If he ever wanted to do late night, he could. He really could, I think, and he could do well.
Big Conan vibes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Conan, exactly. He would be, yes. And I think it would be great. I'd tune in. I love the intro, which I've talked about. The narrator, Michael Ironside. What a fucking voice. Mint for narration. There's a lot. Sure. Yeah. I love, absolutely love so many of the characters. I do kind of struggle a bit, just a bit, with Carmichael, Haig. I feel like his energy, while it makes complete sense, he is being theatrical and performative to the cameras and all this stuff, it feels very modern. I don't know why, but he feels very modern to me, whereas none of these all these other characters kind of blend into the 70s, but he feels specifically placed out of this era. So if I see personally a weak spot, it's him. And maybe it's also because, as Sean said, like, he's such a good antagonist. You really want to see something bad happen to him. And then when it does, you're like, oh, why'd I wish for that?
No, I wasn't upset.
You're happy? No. Oh, okay. That's cool. He did have a gnarly death, but I don't know. Kyle's right. Goddamn, Gus is kind of like a discovery. Madeline's also... I don't know. Madeline is one I would have to either get into the headspace that her character knew and was in on all of this stuff. And when she's like giving that story about Jack, it's a performance and she's being performative too. Otherwise, I don't buy her being natural. She doesn't feel very natural. She feels a little stiff to me too. So it's not flawless, and it is like a lower budget, so like the cast is small, but goddamn, David Dess. I'm gonna give it a very strong four. I can't do it yet. It's just a very strong four.
This is basically Silent Hill 2, a much better movie version of Silent Hill 2 than what has ever been made from Silent Hill 2.
Also, Carmichael, yeah. The character of Carmichael is the biggest piece of garbage. How are you going to be a magician and then just be like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life making money just proving you that everybody is, you know,
you seriously can't you do don't magic. Know James Randi?
No.
Who's James
Sounds
Randi?
Sounds like a dirtbag, though, if that's anybody like this.
No, James Randi was awesome because he literally did debunk, like, fake psychics and shit. And, like, he was a huge... That Carmichael was literally based on a real guy that looks almost exactly like him, who was a bald former magician who would debunk... Like, he debunked Uri Geller on... it might have been Carson. It was like a real live, like, late night television thing.
I think, that's interesting. I guess in my mind, it's
he wasn't as big of a dick, but
yeah,
a lot of times, like in here, it's stuff like you have Christow doing his thing, and it's like, man, like, I don't know how many of you people believe this to actually be a thing that's actually happening right now. Like, why are you being such a dickhead? Like, just let people have fun. You know? Mm-hmm. You're just a dick. I don't know. That's what I took from it. He deserved it.
That's fair.
Get roasted, fair. Son.
All right. We're going to move on to style, where hopefully things get roasted again. Or toasty? Roasted? I don't know. Heat up? Style's going to cover tone, visuals, sound, and music. I would love it if Kyle started off with this one.
Because you know, don't you?
No. I don't know.
I mean,
if you don't know, now you know.
Sucker.
Pretty good.
It's,
buddy.
It's a goddamn talk show from the 70s. I think every aspect of this movie oozes style. We sort of briefly touched on it. I was really kind of blown away and sat up at the fucking demon face transformation. I really liked that. That was such a cool, subtle, like, and the way that she just continues to stare at him, like, with the split face, and it's got that glow. That was great shit. One touch I noticed, and I was shocked because this was my first time, but the sliding door at the Grove is exactly like the sliding door as on a set. Did you guys ever notice that?
Mm-hmm. No.
When he gets let in to but do the sacrifice, they shut a door behind him that has a mural painted on him. It's the exact same fucking door from his studio. I was like, oh, that's really cool. So yeah, I gotta give this a 5, I feel. And I feel like a dick for giving the bonus point out last week in style, because I feel like, goddamn, this is so 70s'd out. I'll see if somebody else gets there.
If it helps, maybe we don't give it a bonus point because of the AI. Otherwise, we know that would be a bonus point, but AI.
That's so fair. I love that caveat. All right. You've perfectly nailed it. It is a 5. No bonus point for your AI blasphemous, treasonous.
Yeah.
Take it away, Shawnee boy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad somebody said that because I was just going to launch in with, and my bonus point goes here. This movie is nothing but style. It's absolutely fantastic. The style of the sets, absolutely fantastic. It transports me to that time. I love the music in, the music out, the transitioning from commercials, transitioning to the black and white. You always know, you know, what people are supposed to be seeing at a given point. Kyle?
Sorry, just when they come back from the commercial after she levitates and the band's like trying to play, but like they're still fucking in shock and like that great touches, style, fuck. Oh.
Dude, there's so many little bits and bobs that are in here in regards to that. I think in style, you can also be looking at the practical effects. I think the makeup when Lily first goes basically exorcist, you know, looked very, when she comes up, her hair just kind of parts a little bit and she's a completely different person. Contacts, the, you know, just the makeup that's on, to you have Gus's scene with the worms and the head splitting, like this. Oh my God. The decisions that were made in here are just out of this fucking world. And I am a sucker for this kind of style. A sucker for it. I also love the way that you're able to, the way that they shot it in a way that feels very, it was shot in 1970s with very much so the muted softness and in visuals. Fucking love it. And it just, it hits a spot in me that just, no matter what, it's going to get an extra point for me. So, yeah, that's a hard five for me. And I'll send it to Ryan.
So far, I've agreed with everything. I love the style. I'm just going to jump off from what Sean said and continue on. I love how they doctored this up to make a lot of the footage look like it's from the 70s. I love like the fuzz on it all. It's not super detailed. And like there's like lines that come through every once in a while. It's good. The effects they did there, all great. I love that. The kind of invisible CG that you don't notice or pay attention to, but like really kind of heightens things. And like making it look like the 70s footage, perfect. They did it. I loved it. I also loved the choice to include the different kind of reality filters. The black and white behind the scenes cam, and then like the cinematic, like we're in Jack's like mind space as he's being manipulated space. I think those are really good choices. I love the interplay between aspect ratios. Such a sucker for that. Anytime you play with the aspect ratio, I get a little cinema boner. And I can't help it. And it's just what's going to happen. I really love, as Kyle said, just like some of the way they weave some of these things into the movie kind of in your face so you know about it. Because like the set also bleeds into like that final scene with him pushing the dagger into Madeline's heart. Spoilers, it's not Madeline. But like the background are like the 70s set colors weaving in and out of the bed and the wall. So you still like, you're never quite breaking from the idea like, oh, this is the set still. You mentioned Madeline popping up several times in like still frames and like the mirror on the table, and she's in the audience once or twice. And then like the one of the magazine covers with just Hail Abraxas on it super early on. Like there are so many clues and things to like dig into. This is a very well thought out movie when it comes to all this. I think the music fits, the style feels like a 70s talk show perfectly. Five, the fullest five it could be, and the only reason I could poo-poo on it is the AI usage. Brian, take us home.
Well, I don't want to be that guy.
Be that guy.
No, I agree with you guys that it is. This is a gorgeous movie. It nails the aesthetic of the era that it's going for. Instantly, just deep in it, and it feels so natural and real. The colors, they actually used old lights from the 70s. Like they went and found old lights, and that's how they lit it. So like commitment to the bit. Also helps that they were on a budget, and those would be very cheap lights. like out of use for 30, 40 years.
They all got cancer using them, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
that was their
period accurate.
Yeah, right.
In a found footage film, I struggle with the that fever dream at the end where we go to the cinematic aspect ratio and we see what's going on inside Jack's mind. It takes you out of it a little bit. But it's not so egregious because, like I said, when we were talking about story, they've worked so hard to this point to escalate things, and it feels earned that, like, okay, we can break format for a little bit so we can bring this story home, because otherwise I don't even know how you would deliver the message that, you know, he's, you know, without doing like, oh, look, we just found this footage from her deathbed. There's no way to do it other than showing what he's seeing. A lot like the way we saw what Gus was seeing when Carmichael hypnotized the entire audience. So I am going to forgive that a little bit. But I'm really disappointed by the AI. Especially because it's such a small thing that would have been easy to contract an actual artist to do for those three images. It wouldn't have been, I know, tight budget. We had 132 production companies trying to gather up the money so we could make this movie, but I don't think it would have been crazy out of budget to get those three still images. So,
you could probably get that for under $1,000, I feel. Maybe being generous. No,
you're
come on,
absolutely dude. Right. You're absolutely right. Somebody would do it for that price. Absolutely.
I would do that for $100 and a burrito.
$100 and a burrito. That's less money than your AI subscription. There you go.
Yeah.
So style, I feel like I can't let this get out of category with a perfect score, so I'm going to give it a 4.
You know, I didn't even think about the seeing things from his point of view. Like the Gus thing, I can easily explain. Oh, I'm hypnotized. You know, that's what he's showing me. But
we're all hypnotized. As Sean said, when they hypnotize us as the audience, we're all just seeing this mass delusion.
Right.
I don't know why we would see what Jack is.
I think it's by this point in the movie, you've bought in so hard. You really don't care.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it does such a good job of like it's not getting perfect. You into it. Like it pulls you in, so you forgive it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And maybe it's Mr. Riggles learned from the mass hypnotization and said, okay, that's a fun thing we can do.
Oh my God. Maybe. When that was going down with Gus and all of the worms and everybody's horrified, and you just had Lily / Mr. Riggles just giggling, like, this is so much fun.
Why is he acting so silly?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 13.
God. I love that this drives Kyle crazy. Like, up until Kyle said that, I just so assumed she was like 13.
When they, like, have adults on any high school, I love that shit. It's like not another teen movie where they just lean into it, but...
That's funny.
Hello, fellow teens.
Hello, fellow teens.
How do you do?
What's the fucking shirt tuggers? TC Tucker.
TC Tuggers. It's not a joke. You can't wear it as a joke.
Okay.
Woo. All right.
Where do we go next?
With that, we will go to direction, as was demanded. This is going to include vision, execution of the directors, Colin and Cameron Cairns, two Aussie boys. I also want to hear Kyle, since he really wanted direction first. He will get it first, and he will be the first.
I don't know, man. It's another one of those things, like, we talk about budget. And so many, I don't know, do I want to dock it? How much control do they have over Final Say? I would probably give it a 5. I don't know. I feel like it's a 4. I don't know. I can't explain it. Huh. That's why I'm so all over the place. But it just feels right. So that's about all I've got. And
was it a 5 or like a 4, though?
A 4.
It is a 4.
I think it's a 4. Okay. I don't know, though. it's another one of those things. They do so much with, like, kind of so little. Like, honestly, the special effects in this movie, really impressive. The mm-hmm. only one that is a bit, to me, is the vomit, like the black vomit, just a bit too much. But even that, like, it worked. And I like the explanation and, like, he switches his coat. It's a good touch. Man, it's hard. It's fucking sucks when we have so many good, fun movies. So, like, I hate being so goddamn generous all the time. Four. Take it away from me, Ryan.
Okay. I am not familiar with these two outside of this movie. They've apparently directed two other movies, so this is their third. That said, I do think if we're going on just the vision and execution, it's all there. They had a vision. It is fully on display. This does not seem like it's been edited or tweaked with a studio or anybody else. It just feels like they had a simple story idea and they executed on it perfectly. I love the style. I love what they did here. I think they pull off a few twists very, very well, especially like the Gus one, I think is really clever. I think I'm with Kyle. I think this is five. I think they really nailed it. I don't know even how I could be pedantic and whittle it down to a four. Oh no, I'm better than Kyle then. Or I'm higher than Kyle then. I'm a five.
I'm better than Kyle.
He said what he said.
I did it. You can still edit that out if you want.
Nope.
Okay.
I could. It's not happening.
I do feel like he talked me up, though, because he's right. I wanted to do five, and I don't know why I talked myself down to four. I'm 5'2".
We are the same goodness, y'all. Now there's no controversy. And with that, I want to hear from Sean.
Man, Kyle said he feels like he's been generous lately. I feel like I'm not very generous generally ever in here, unless it's like something that just absolutely wows me. And with that being said, as Kyle was sitting there talking, waffling, he's like, oh, you know, four doesn't quite feel right. And I'm like, yep, you're right. It doesn't, because it's a fucking five. I thought, honestly, I didn't look to see who had written or directed this. I assume that Dalmatian wrote this because I've seen him do a couple of interviews now. Where he's described things that he's written that he wants to get greenlit. What's up?
I've seen a couple of interviews where he's like, I directed this movie. Yep. It was all me.
Oh, no. No. Where he's talking about movies that he's written that he wants to see get greenlit. And they just feel this, like, it makes me want to watch it. And it gives me feelings of this. That being said, he didn't write or direct this, so that doesn't fucking matter. But Colin and Cameron absolutely fucking crushed this. All of the decisions they made outside of three splash screens were absolutely incredible, and I feel like I'm getting a knack for the direction thing. It's only taken about 300 episodes, but I feel like I'm getting it. This is a five, easy for me. No questions asked. Brian.
Yeah. Again, I hate to be that guy.
Do it.
So I'm not gonna. I'm right there with you guys. This is a five. These guys had a clear vision and executed it so well. This is a difficult movie to poke holes in, to a level where there are people online who have alternate theories about, like, is it Abraxas or is it Madeline?
Just being a ghost from beyond.
Being vengeful, and like they can back up their theory. So like it's good stuff. Huh. It's very interesting.
She's the one that shows up all the time, like I said.
Exactly. She keeps flashing up on the screen. Yeah, Tyler, it's just Durden,
I believe they call that.
They do call it Tyler Durden.
Pulling a Tyler Durden.
And you're spliced between the scenes. Sometimes you're a penis. Yeah, it's a five for me.
I've never considered the possibility it's Madeline doing this as a vengeful thing. There's no Abraxas. There's nothing. She's just getting vengeance on him by having him kill in public in front of cameras. That's
right. Oh, you want your, you're going to sacrifice me for your dream?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay.
I'm your monkey's paw, baby.
I like this movie even more now.
Especially, so there is a scene where I paused and rewound it because I never saw it initially where you have Lily go, "It's nice to see you again." He goes, "We haven't met." And she snaps her head and Madalena pops up on the back of her head. I stopped and rewound that twice because I'm like, wait, what? Wait, and I tried to pause it at the right time. And you know how it is with TVs and stuff. You're always, you have lag, you personally. But then again, you know, 20 minutes later, where, they like, break down the whole thing. It? And I felt less smart because I'm like, shit, it was meant to be.
You're talking about
there.
The one but, where he rewinds it?
Yes. So okay. I initially, when that, so when you watch it, that is actually there, and it made me pause the movie and rewind it. And then they go back to it later, and I'm like, oh, I feel less smart. But now that you say that, Brian, like that makes Minnie appearing on Lily's head make so much more sense. Like, why else was that there?
She's also in New York.
When, like, this has changed everything.
Boost all my scores to 6.
Like, and you think about when Christo has his vision, his psychic vision, it does not seem like it's a kind entity that's speaking
no.
to him.
No. So, like, desperate. Somebody accept
somebody.
Yeah.
Oh. Once the eyes start rolling back, that's when you know it's not peaceful.
Yup. Yup. He done undertakered.
You know, it was maybe all a fucking performance after all. Now I don't know what to believe. It was, he's just undertaking it.
Fucking crazy.
Our last category is going to be entertainment value. This is going to cover enjoyability, success, and reception of the movie. To start this off, I always throw it at Brian because he's got them big old numbers I like to hear.
I do have numbers. In this movie, did numbers. It's hard to find an actual budget listed. They kind of keep that up their sleeve. Maybe it's just hard to keep track of with 13,672 different production companies involved. But the prevailing theory on the internet is that this cost under $2 million to make.
Allegedly.
Which is insanely impressive if that's true. Other people put it around 3, maybe 5. So there's actually most places report it being just 1 million, and that seems insane to me.
That seems real low.
But when you consider that they're using old used lights on a one set movie, there's a possibility there. It's just we don't really know. What we do know is that opening weekend it made $2.8 million, which I think makes it the fourth biggest IFC films release. And it ended up grossing worldwide about $15 million. So not a huge take, but for a small, low-budget indie movie, excellent. And it also did numbers streaming afterwards. So, like, this thing has definitely made back its money.
Can you tell me
what... It probably helped boost up Shudder numbers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
For a little bit.
It was the number one for IFC. Was it also the number one for AGC International that year? Do you know? Do you have that?
I don't know. Yeah. We're going to go through the whole list.
Country and Date Productions?
Oh, damn it. Okay. I would like to know. It might affect my score.
Do you think it was a guy with an injured arm in a Rainy House Productions?
Jamaican bobsled team productions.
Hey. Olympics. So this thing, very successful, box office wise. I want to speak about my personal experience with this movie, though. How this entertained me. And I went into it with pretty high hopes. I like David Dalmatian quite a bit. Also, very awesome that we've given him the name Dalmatian because he is the polka dot man.
He is. He is.
Super appropriate. Mm-hmm.
You just got roofaloed.
I'm going to reveal something here. This is an Experience Grind exclusive. Not many people know this about me. I would consider myself a vermaphobe.
Okay.
So when this hypnotism scene happened, And he started talking about vermophobia. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. But then he said, oh, it's the fear of worms. I was like, oh, fuck. Am I actually hypnotized right now? I legitimately for a moment thought that the movie had hypnotized me. And I was like, if this is real, I am...
How do you know this?
This is the greatest movie of all time. You just hypnotized me sitting on my couch in my living room. So like just that weird coincidence was enough for me to be like, oh, I'm so fucking in for the rest of this film, no matter what happens. So like if bonus points are still on the table, I would give a 6 to this.
Go ahead.
I think it's earned with that personal story.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not in style.
It's so. The only stipulation.
Exactly. So, it's a 6 for entertainment value for me. I fucking loved this, and it made me think about a lot of things. It probably helps that it was the follow-up to Pink Flamingos. very different vibes. It was definitely a palate cleanser. Yeah,
get 6. That shitty and taste out of your mouth.
He got that shitty taste out of my mouth. Exactly. I'm going to throw it to Sean.
Well, this movie made anywhere from 7 to 15 times its budget. That's very impressive. Well, one is more impressive than the other, but both are very impressive. Guys, I saw this opening weekend. I left it really liking it. And on the second watch, I finished it loving it. I had to pause it at a certain point because Sarah was going to take the little guy on a WALK. You can tell that he is in the room right now, and I really don't want to get him hype. But yeah, she had to take him on a WALK, and so I paused it real quick, and I looked, and it was like, oh... There's like 49 minutes left. And then like 5, and I'm like, oh, holy shit, hell yeah. Because I know what's coming up. And then like 5 minutes goes by and it gets to like that hypnotism scene. And I'm like, holy shit, there's so much more of this left. And I'm so excited. And just knowing, looking at it and be like, there's that much time left and I'm this hype, just screams how much this movie entertains me. I fucking love this movie. It was really good. Yeah, it's a 5. It's a 5 for me. And I'll shoot it to Kyle so Ryan can finish it.
I like it. Unfortunately, I feel like
it's okay.
This year is going to be me just bringing up old episodes and making Brian rewatch stuff. Because now that you're kind of coming around on horror, I really want to show you my favorite horror movie of all time. The Witch, which I'm sure you haven't seen, right?
I have not.
Yeah. It's a movie I loved so much, I made Ryan go back the next day and watch it with me again.
Made.
But, yeah, I mean, I was like, hey, come with me. I really like this movie. I'd like you to see it. And he's like, okay. I like you a lot. Let's do it.
That sounds like
it's the only time he ever said he liked me.
Before he thought he was better than you.
Guys, there's no controversy. We are equal.
We are equal. That's it. I'm not equal with Brian in my enthusiasm for the entertainment. I'm not a full 6. I don't know. It's weird. And again, I don't really know if I can explain it. I'm at a 4. And I'm leaving it at that. And I don't think I will budge on this one.
And that's totally reasonable. I'm kicking it
to Ryan.
I don't think you need to explain.
Yeah, that's perfect. I will not bury the lead. This is a 5 for me. It's a full 5. I was entertained the first time. I was entertained the second time. I think this is supremely well paced. Outside of the introduction narration kind of backstory on Jack and then the ending stuff, it feels like a tight like hour 10-minute late night show, which is already like kind of engineered to be paced perfectly. So like just by copying that, they have a movie that fucking moves and like gets on with it, which I can appreciate. They would have had to really work to fuck it up, is what I'm saying. And they didn't. So this, I think, works very, very well. This is a 5. I'm glad to hear Brian give the extra point. I think it's well-deserved. This super entertaining movie. Very enjoyable. And I'm very happy to hear it made its money back. I just thought it was destined to be like a failed cult movie that then gets like recognized 20 years from now. But it sounds like people are already getting into it. Just fucking years into it. That's nice. That's refreshing. You
know what I think this movie really benefited from is coming out pretty... I think it came out like literally a month after Long Legs came out. And I think Long Legs really got people going to watch those weird indie-ish horror movies, because also Cuckoo came out like 2 months after this. It was a really, really great summer. Man, I liked question Cuckoo. Mark mm-hmm. for those mm-hmm. movies. You said you like Cuckoo, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good
Long
movie.
Legs had a great marketing campaign.
Yeah. I liked Long Legs a lot too.
I've not seen it yet, so I can't comment, but I loved the marketing. Same. Still don't know shit.
go into that not thinking about any of the hype that it had.
Here's a fun one, boys. That's one that I own digitally, so we could all watch it easily at some point in the future.
I would be into it.
I really like Long Legs too.
Yeah. Oh, it says Long Legs came out after Late Night with the Devil. That's weird.
That was 2023.
Long Legs was 24.
Oh, yeah. Then that is definitely
it's, quote unquote weird. Wide release was in March of 2024.
Oh, okay. Okay. This makes sense. Okay. Anyways, I think it was just a really, really, really great like 12-month period for these kinds of movies that like if someone saw one and it clicked, you were going to be going back and seeing any, much like me, just going back and seeing any one of them that looked even remotely interesting. And I fucking love that for movies. Because, I don't know, I drove 45 minutes to see this in the theaters.
Damn.
Same for Long Legs. Hated.
I feel like we are in a great time right now for indie horror films.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Agreed.
Yep. But that will change because as soon as you recognize you're in a good part, for some reason, it seems to catch up that then everybody gets over it. Or Hollywood capitalizes on it and then pushes out a bunch of bullshit.
Oversaturation of the market.
And I think A24 went public, so they have to answer to stakeholders now. So that's never great for art.
So that's going to ruin it.
You can already tell.
Friendship with A24 is over. New best friend is Neon.
Neon's fucking great.
Neon's really good.
Neon and is fucking great. Wellgo, love Neon.
USA, Wellgo Entertainment. Both of those are those are my babies.
And you apparently I have a lot more production companies to look out for now. About 9 of them.
At least. You could tell with A24 about 12 movies ago when a shift happened. You're like,
somewhat.
This is
they
a
still
little
got some
bit
bangers,
more.
But
mainstream.
It's diluted. That's the thing. Yes. Now, if you watch an A24 movie, you're not guaranteed an 8, mm-hmm. 9, or 10. It might be a 5. It might be a 6. It might even be
you're not even guaranteed
0
a weird,
or
quirky
1.
Something. So, there's some real formulaic bullshit they've put out recently, and it's like, come on.
100%. Mm-hmm. Because they got to make money and appeal to the mainstream. And the only thing that stakeholders know is make it dumb. Dumb it down. Four quadrant, that shit.
The book, Oprah. Like, you're going to put out The Smashing Machine with Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a UFC fighter. Like, any company, like any production company could have picked that up and it would not have made a single difference. Like, having A24 at the beginning of that, it was not a needle mover for literally anybody, as you can see in all of the awards.
It was a Safdie Brother film. And it was the good Safdie Brother, and unfortunately, he did not win the battle. And it's a sad thing.
Dang. Anyways, man, Ryan, great freaking pick. How does this? What does this give us for a score?
Oh boy, this is a big boy. We gave a lot of 4s and 5s, and there was a 6 in there. That was me. Total for Late Night with the Devil is a 94.
Ayo.
That's pretty big high number. This is an interesting one because IMDb has it at a 7. Letterboxd has it at 3.4. Metacritic at a 72. So they're all right there in like the 70s. But then you look at the Rotten Tomatoes, 82% audience, 92% critical. 97%.
Let's go. Critical. We're real movie critics, boys. Woo!
Yeah. We this agree only with the critics week. This week.
Legit. Bonafide.
That's crazy that so many are in the sevens. That feels real low.
Very low. Yeah.
Feels yeah. low. Well, I do think that this got review bombed because of the AI controversy. And that
oh, I bet it did. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was just thinking,
yep. As like if you go on Letterboxd,
there's not a lot of horror, like traditional wise, in this. It's a lot of weirder shit. So people generally hate that too.
I didn't hear about the AI stuff until the drive home when Sarah had brought it up. And like on the drive home, I'm like, she mentions it. There's that big of a backlash over that. And that's not to say that like AI, like that's not terrible, but it's like the vitriol that was coming out. And like, I was like, man, it's not like,
oh wait.
And again, not justifying it, but it's like, it's not like even an eighth of the movie was made with this to have this level of put it in the ground, bury it, never let it see the light of day. So it is kind of a bummer to see it have such a low score in those other spots.
Yeah, people just hate clankers.
Mm-hmm. It still sounds dirty when you say it.
We hate those clankers. Yeah, I was on Letterboxd looking at reviews, and it's like there are three kinds of reviews for this movie. It was either, oh, it's got AI, I hate it, 0 stars. Or it was like, oh, this should happen to Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, or, you know, that joke over and over again. Yeah. Or the third thing, the third review was, wow, a lot of production companies on this one, huh?
The production company is one I get. I'll weigh in a bit real quick on the AI thing because, yeah, echoing Sean, like for how little of the manpower the AI represents for like what actual human power went into this movie, like, yeah, we should all be vigilant and looking out for AI and asking better from our artists and like supporting human. But like, I guarantee you the people who are giving this zeros on Letterboxd are watching movies that they don't even know AI is a part of and are loving from Hollywood because they're figuring out ways to do it invisibly behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going to be a bummer is like, all right, so you're shitting on this small little thing that had no money that did like me. All right, grant you, they fucked up. But if they fucked up, it's such a small percentage of like the big thing. Whereas I guarantee you Hollywood is weaponizing AI right now to undercut artists, to undercut actors, to do all this stuff in the shit I love, Marvel movies, any big shit, like it's gonna be happening. So maybe save that vitriol for that or what's already happening. But this is just, it's not good, but it is also not worth that level of vitriol.
Yeah, it's like when I had looked at things, it was like, holy shit. Did Dalmatian actually shoot a Dalmatian in the face? Because this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm getting from this. And it like it just doesn't line up. Like the hatred doesn't line up with the action.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
It's being treated like if he was Kevin Spacey. And I'll just say that. And I don't know that that's a one for one. We should not avoid this movie like it's Kanye or Kevin Spacey for doing actual horrible acts. Versus they made a mistake because they were probably pressed for time or whatever, and they chose poorly. And it's a small, it's they made three mistakes, apparently, three pieces of AI, I think is what they owned up to. Three mistakes in a production that is literally millions of choices being made on a regular basis. So I can't, I cannot just like throw the baby in the out with the bathwater here.
Like 3 seconds pick of your screen battles. Time. Mm-hmm. Like fucking hell.
Like
but yeah.
How about we review bomb Secret Invasion and their fully AI intro sequence instead? Because like Justified. That wasn't even a great show.
Mm-hmm. And here's Justified. And here's the thing is in 2026, right now, crazy if you're listening in the future, woo, things were weird back now.
Do you remember like, when people cared about AI?
Yeah. And that's actually the point that I'm about to make is that it's it almost seems now unless it's this massive, massive scale thing, everybody's desensitized to it. So I'm seeing this thing where AMC won't air this AI 20-minute AI thing that won some award. They're refusing to have it in their theaters. And like, that's a big thing. But, you know, 2 years ago when this came out, this is what was big. And now we're to the point where entire movies are being put out that are all AI. And those are the battles that people are picking and not these like 3-frame things. People are like, oh, that's not a big deal. And I just did it. But like, it's crazy how that goalpost shifts year after year when you're just constantly exposed to it and you're seeing firsthand people's livelihoods being affected by it more now. So it's crazy.
I have so much more to say, but I think we might save this for Patreon. Because I could keep going on this one. But we'll wrap this up. I think that then leaves it to Kyle. You're up next week.
Yeah, Clank Yankers. That's what we're calling the Patreon.
Clank Yankers.
So, all right, boys. I have 4 things written down here. Let's drop one of the 4 off right now. 1, 2, 3, or 4. What are we getting rid of?
4.
4?
Yeah, I don't like 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't belong in a top 3.
1.
We all say 4. So 4
your
is out. All right.
Choice
so you guys
is often your worst.
Just okay. In general. I agree with I actually people. Agree with Ryan. Can
hold on.
Move
yeah,
1.
Yeah. Let's get rid of 1 instead.
Okay.
Yeah. Ryan, that's a really good fucking point.
Well, argue.
All right. So do you want to know what you got rid of?
Oh no.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
The Mr. Bean movie.
Okay.
Not upset at that.
I don't right. hate that, but yeah,
you might have chosen poorly. All right, yep. So you got 2, 3, and 4 left. I will tell you, 2 is more art house. I'm sorry. Let me renumber these now. So 1 is more art housey, but mainstream. 2 is action adventure, like animal, and then 3 is sports movie. Overcoming teen drama.
So you don't have to have this was the last found footage one.
Yeah, okay. I don't have a found footage pick. None of these are found footage picks. So
by the time it's your week, it's no longer February. So
exactly.
Matter.
So that's why I didn't pick one.
Okay. I didn't
I've already
that.
Looked forward ahead. That's why I had difficulty because I didn't have a restriction to work within. I had carte blanche, right. And so it was like, choice overload. What am I doing? Yeah.
That's so why yeah, I right, boys, gave myself.
Do you guys?
Can unfortunately, you because of ADHD, I was looking at the calendar, so that meant I no longer heard a single word that you said.
All right, so again, I'm going. First to one say is 2. Somewhat art housey, but still mainstream. Second one is sort of action adventure, animal based. Third one. Is sports movie / overcoming things teen drama.
Are we eliminating or choosing?
This would be the choice. So whatever you guys decide now will 1. Be the choice. Okay, we got 1.
I don't want 3. That's all I know. Either 1 or 2.
Okay,
same.
3 is the action adventure.
No, 3 is the
sports movie / overcoming teen drama.
Oh, that's the one I do want. That is my vote.
Fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have 1 for 3. We have 1
for
1.
I don't think I'm going to like
I'm
going to
vote
choice.
For 2.
Okay, so it's 1, 2, and 3. So this puts
you
it on me to
pick. You want the
animal
one?
No, I don't. I actually don't want the animal one. I'm voting for 1.
Oh. Okay. Damn, I was kind of hoping for 2, honestly, after all this. Okay,
was
you want to know what you got rid
down?
Of?
I think let's you screwed yourself.
So 2, the action-adventure animal-based movie. Was Deep Blue Sea?
Oh, animal. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
A
that's not
flick.
What I thought.
And then the sports Jaws. Movie / overcoming teen drama that did not win is Airborne, a 90s movie.
The fuck is
about
Airborne?
Rollerbladers.
Oh,
got
I'm
Jack
glad
Black
we
and
that
Seth
much.
Green.
I picked that. What is Airborne? Wait. Oh, wait. Hold on.
Do you want to do Airborne?
Wait. Hold on. Talk to me. Talk to me.
No.
Seth Green and Jack Black, are they supporting characters?
Yeah, I think it's Jack Black's feature film debut. It's like his very first one. He plays a bully. It's got a teen heartthrob in the lead role. It's about a kid from California who's really good at rollerblading that moves to Minnesota and joins the ice hockey team because he knows how to skate.
Yeah, you know what?
We can I do it. That do you guys want to do Airborne?
I picked it, and I'm not no. I'm not ashamed. I would have been happy with that pick.
Sean says no still. Sean's
I still want to hear what one is, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, one is we're getting back into Wes Anderson territory. It's Moonrise Kingdom.
I also don't like Seth Green, so.
I love Seth Green.
Yeah, Brian hates Wes Anderson.
He does. So I think we're leaning towards Airborne.
Oh, I mean, we're guys. Not... Are we? Are
honestly
we now?
I don't care.
I don't know. It was also... I had the idea of like Memory March. Idea I haven't seen Airborne in over 20 years. It could be Brian another Kyle picks poison. A terrible one.
It could be a Kyle picks a terrible one.
Really could.
I am happy to have 90s schlock in Airborne, but I also would love to hear Brian's thoughts on Moonrise Kingdom because I
Moonrise
think,
Kingdom is my
I
favorite
say,
Wes Anderson.
He might enjoy it. That might
it's
be
the sweetest one.
The one.
I did say I was going to be open to more Wes Anderson.
And I think it was the one that I said, if I think if human. Any will convince you, it would be that one or maybe okay. Budapest. But
oh, it's not Budapest. Budapest is not going to convince you. That's like so fucking, that's like, that's
it's very up its own ass.
That's
Brian,
like,
it's a feel good romance.
You just did a hard line of Wes Anderson, and you need like more Wes Anderson. You do.
All right. Well, unfortunately for Sean, then Airborne might stay in the pocket because it garnered a lot of serious interest, and I do remember liking it a whole fucking lot. And it is 90s schlock perfected. So, but I think we will go with Moonrise Kingdom because I did love it, and I haven't seen it for a long time, and I am curious on Brian's thoughts too. So,
and it did
go.
Technically win the vote.
If you are really curious and you're a listener who wants to know which one will actually be chosen, because me, as someone recording right now, I have no idea what the fuck we're doing next week. You should head on over to patreon.com/experiencegrind, where we will continue this probably and figure out actually what we're going to do, because this is going on way too long.
So, I know, it's funny.
Don't go in blind. Don't be a fucking weirdo. Come find out what we're going to talk about. Hang out with us on Patreon, patreon.com/experiencegrind, where for as little as $9 million or one USD, you can come and listen to a new free episode every single week, where usually we record beforehand and we pepper in little Easter eggs through the episode, but
for
I have no
as
idea
little
what
as
we're
a dollar, you can watch a free listen to a free episode.
Is that what I said?
So it is done.
Where I will then berate you at the end of said episode to give us more money. get in for a dollar,
it's for free.
Then I'll tell
it's
you bad. You're cheap. Linktree
cheap.
/experiencegrind. You'll find all our links, Discord, Patreon. Shit like that. But Ryan, that's enough of my plugs. Can you plug the custom? Can you? Yeah.
I'll plug every single customer.
Go on.
But
plug it all.
I don't, that sounds kind of like a lot.
Do it.
Dreamer here, awake. Dreamer here, awake. Dreamer here, awake.
That was such a good fucking plug.
That was good.